Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide. Each week, we provide inspiring teachings, uplifting stories, and heartfelt prayers that connect you with the profound truths of Scripture. Our mission is to spread hope, love, and faith, and we invite you to join us in this vital endeavor as we seek to impact lives across the globe. Thank you for tuning in, and together, let us celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, our scripture is from the Psalms, chapter 24, verse 1, which says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." Here we have a text that tells us that God created the world, that God sustained the world, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who oversees the affairs of our lives each day. It says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We have a great blessing to be able to be alive during this time when we believe that God is doing a great work around the world. Many Muslims are coming to Christ. Many Hindus are following Christ. And so we see God doing fantastic things in this day and age. I believe we're in the last day, and I believe we ought to praise Him and look forward to the Lord's return. But this verse tells us that God controls the world, God dwells therein, and we need to continue to walk with Him and sense His presence and do His work and do His will.
Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I Thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with Thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always.
Good day, thank you for joining our Moments from the Mission Field, with interviews and stories about how the Lord's work is reaching out globally through the agency of Mission Go. If you, your friends from church, or family members are interested in more information about short-term or career ministry opportunities, or seeking someone to come to your church, or a group to speak about international missions, please call 866-483-5787 in Canada or 888-900-5048 in the United States, or on the web visit www.missiongo.org, so we can share more information.
Let every nation hear, sharing God's word through radio. Dear friend, more than 5 decades ago, Voice of the Gospel began broadcasting in Chateauguay, Quebec. Today, its weekly program airs on more than 15 radio stations across Canada and the United States, as well as online. This faithful and fruitful ministry is just one among many, using the airwaves to reach every corner of the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's all thanks to friends like you. Is radio still a relevant media in our age of media abundance? Yes, Christian radio remains an enduring and influential lifeline for the gospel. It is a unique bridge that crosses deserts, jungles, and closed borders, delivering the hope of Christ to those who need it most. No other medium can reach the illiterate, the isolated, the persecuted, and those in the least reached places like radio can. Radio is a mission field reaching the unreached Christian radio broadcasts in native languages and dialects, and breaks through barriers of literacy, poverty, and even government censorship. For many, radio is their only accessible source of spiritual nourishment. Penetrating restricted areas in places where religious freedom is restricted or heavily monitored, radio is often the only way the gospel can be shared. Shortwave and AM signals can bypass borders, evade censorship, and reach listeners in the privacy of their homes. It also connects isolated believers with God's global church, overcoming limited connectivity. It's hard for many to imagine sparse access to digital resources, but this is a reality for many living in rural areas of the world. In regions with unreliable electricity and limited internet, a simple battery-powered radio becomes the most effective tool for bringing the gospel to millions who lack access to biblical teaching, building disciples and communities. Christian radio is not just for initial evangelism, it also provides believers with ongoing discipleship, teaching, and necessary encouragement. Many stations serve as a bridge, connecting isolated and vulnerable believers to worldwide Christian fellowship. Please join us in support of the continued outreach of Christian radio across the land and around the globe. While we are allowed to use the airwaves to speak the truth of the gospel to a lost and hopeless world. This month, we are offering Reconciliation, Restoring Broken Relationships, a booklet written by June Hunt. Do these four hurts sound familiar? Sarcasm, hurt feelings, misunderstanding, alienation. When imperfect people connect with other imperfect people, relationship breakdowns are sure to occur. Why is it so hard to patch things up? Who should make the first move? You need to know, forgiving someone is not the same as reconciliation. Reconciliation is a restored relationship based on restored trust. Even when there are valid reasons to feel hurt, and even when the other person is undeserving, the spirit of reconciliation reflects the heart of God. Prepare your heart to resolve differences. Allow God to reveal the road to reconciliation in your relationships today. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour Box, 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario L2R 707, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York 14231.
Oh.
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman as a continuation of his series on Revelation. I know that you enjoy this very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
But we have all faced many trials, tribulations, and heartaches. No one is exempt from these. In fact, you may be going through some of these right now. In your heart, you might even feel that things could not get much worse. Today, we would like to focus our attention on a coming day when things will get far worse, affecting every person alive at that time. To begin this study, we will see what the prophet Daniel has to say about this subject. In chapter 7, he writes about four great beasts that will come to pass. Without going into details, we learn that they are four great kingdoms that would play a great part in world history. We can identify them as the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greek, and Roman empires. These four empires set the world stage for future end time events. To comprehend this message about the horrors of a future time of trials and tribulations, we should take a look at the timetable of events that the archangel gave to Daniel. It is in Daniel 9:25-27. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And to the end of the war, desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the middle of the week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolation. These verses may not have a lot of meaning for you in your daily Bible reading. After we break them down and explain them, you should be able to realize they are extremely basic in understanding the tribulation and trials that are ahead. In the first 24 verses of Daniel chapter 9, a very troubled and confused Daniel poured out his heart to God. He and his people were cut out of their land and in captivity in Babylon. He fervently confessed his own sins and those of his people. He understood the reasons for the captivity, but had God forsaken and forgotten them? In response to his prayer of confession, the Lord sent Gabriel with a message about the overall future of Israel. The answer was given to him in the word weeks. His people will have a total of 70 weeks. These are weeks of years. Each week represents 7 years. Gabriel was telling him there were 490 years total left to Israel until their trials would be over and the Messiah would establish his kingdom. Right now you're thinking, there have been a whole lot more years than 490. We must remember that this is God's timetable for Israel only. Daniel was told God's timetable would begin after the captivity was over and his people were back in the promised land. God's time clock would begin when a decree was made to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Then there would be 7 weeks, or 49 years, plus 62 weeks, or 434 more years until the Messiah would come. That makes a total of 483 years until the Messiah would come. Did anything spectacular happen 483 years after the decree was made to rebuild the temple? Not if you go by the solar calendar we go by today. However, the Jewish people always calculated time by the lunar calendar. When you calculate the years that way, it brings us to the year to about 30 AD. Did anything unusual happen at that time? The text explains exactly what took place then. And after 62 years shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. It takes us to the exact time when Jesus was crucified. Give some thought to the phrase, but not for himself. Jesus was not crucified for anything he had done wrong, but rather to pay the price of death for the sins of the world. We should take note how exacting the prophecy given to Daniel is. The 69 weeks given to the Jewish people were completed. There was still one more week or 7 years left on God's timetable or calendar for the completion of the time allotted. What will happen then, and when will that be? The last part of verse 26 introduces us to two new thoughts. First, it speaks of the prince that shall come. Then it tells us that he will come from a people that shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. This would be followed by desolation. This happened in 70 AD, just as predicted in Matthew 24. Then Daniel 9:27 takes a Herculean leap or jump in time. It skips over centuries of time and takes us to a prophecy yet to be fulfilled in the end times. Why would Gabriel do that? The answer is really fairly simple. The prophecy here is only about God's timetable for his people, the people of whom Daniel was a part, of the children of Israel. There is nothing given him about the church age, which is a parenthesis between the 69th and 70th week. Had he been told about the church age, it would probably have been meaningless to him. Set in the background of the Babylonian captivity, Daniel was only interested in the future and what the future would hold for his own people. We read in that verse about the person who will rise in the last days from among the Gentile people. It appears the entire world will be in great turmoil at that time. And anti-Semitism will have gotten much greater than even today. Israel will be crying out for peace, hoping for someone to appear on the scene to provide that peace they were longing for. Then a man who will very rapidly rise to power and will convince Israel He can produce this peace for which they have longed for so long. He offers a peace plan to many nations, which would last for 7 years. Then he confirms that covenant. This appears to be a good move, but this man is better known as the Antichrist. He will be one of Satan's last efforts to destroy Israel and wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. Satan will empower him to thwart the promises God has made to the children of Israel. We continue the narrative in verse 27. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In simple terms, it means he will turn on Israel, cause them to no longer worship, and set himself up as God in the holy temple. This one will persecute the Jewish people until the 70th week of God's timetable ends. Beginning with Daniel 11:36, we learn more about the activities of this wicked tool of Satan. And the king, the Antichrist, shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself of every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. Once again, to put it in simple words, the Antichrist will be so full of pride, he will consider himself to be greater than God. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14, explains why. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation, on the farthest skies of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. These verses describe Satan himself. We have seen the description of the Antichrist, who will be the earthly emissary of Satan. As previously stated, this end-time person will do all in his power to destroy Israel so that God could not keep the prophetic promises he made to them. As the Antichrist rises in power over the nations, he will gather the riches of the world, for the God of forces his father knew not. Though he promised peace, we read about nations that will rise up against him. We know that while all of this is going on, he is still determined to persecute, kill, and destroy every vestige of anything Jewish. This period of time in the Bible is also called the time of Jacob's trouble. We will be looking at these events as we continue this series of messages. We pick up the end of the story, beginning with verse 45. And he shall plant the tabernacle of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Revelation 19, verses 19 and 20, gives us more information about his end. And I saw the beast, the Antichrist, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him, that's Christ, who sat on the white horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. To complete the story, we need to continue reading from where we stopped at the end of Daniel 11. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's Daniel 12, 1 and 2. All of these events will take place at the end of the 70th week of Daniel. As the prophet Zechariah and the apostle Paul tell us, all Israel will be saved. That all refers to that little remnant of Jewish people still alive at the end of this horrible tribulation period. They will look up, see Jesus returning to the earth to establish his kingdom, and realize they failed to accept him as their Messiah and Savior. They will turn to him and be saved. Just as that remnant of Jewish people had to turn to Jesus and accept him as their Savior, so do you. And remember, eternity lasts a long time. Receive Jesus as your Savior today.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. This month, we are offering Reconciliation, Restoring Broken Relationships, a booklet written by June Hunt. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R77, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.